All right, diving in today, we've got a really interesting set of ebooks, all from Tom Woods' website, all free, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it seems like the kind of the underlying theme here is think and act locally, which is a pretty broad concept.
Yeah, how do you even, where do you even begin with that?
Right, well, they start with education, which is interesting, and basically the intro kind of warns us, you know, like if you think the American establishment has our best interests at heart, then you should probably just close these books right now.
Ooh, controversial.
Yeah. So obviously we had to keep reading, right?
Yeah, I had to see what they were saying.
Exactly. So we're going to deep dive into this. And one of the first things that they challenge, which I thought was really interesting, is this assumption that without government, education for the poor is just like impossible.
Yeah, that's kind of the go-to argument, isn't it?
It is. It is. And they come right back at you with all these real-world examples that kind of turn that whole idea on its head.
Okay, so what are they pointing to?
Well, they talk about Professor Pauline Dixon's work, and she went into these slums, like literally mapping out all the schools.
Wow.
And guess what? The majority of them were private schools.
Yeah.
And they were actually, in a lot of cases, outperforming the government schools.
Really? I mean, where was this?
We're talking India, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, yeah. You name it.
Wow. So all over the developing world.
Yeah. And even they even mentioned China.
Huh. Okay. So these low-cost private schools, I mean, how are they pulling this off?
Well, the sources point to a couple of things. You know, for one thing, when parents are directly paying for their kids' education.
Right.
They become a lot more invested.
Makes sense.
They're like super consumers, you know, demanding quality.
Right. There's accountability there. Right. Like yeah. If they're not happy with what they're getting, they can take their money elsewhere.
Exactly. And they're not dealing with some big bureaucracy.
Right. So they can actually have a direct impact on the school.
And then the teachers, they're often like deeply rooted in the community.
Oh, so it's not just some random teacher who's assigned to the school. They actually have a stake in what's going on.
Right. And you also can't underestimate the power of just passionate individuals starting these schools because they see a need.
Right. Not because some government program tells them to.
It's really like a free market for education where innovation is happening because people are responding to what's actually needed on the ground, not just ticking boxes, you know?
Yeah, that's fascinating. So are they basically saying that this whole education must be a public good argument is like flawed?
They really dismantle that.
Huh.
Yeah, and James Tooley's research is a big part of that. He presents all this evidence of these robust private education systems that existed long before the state even got involved.
Really? So this wasn't just a developing world phenomenon?
No, not at all. Even in the West, it was a thing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, but let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about homeschooling because I feel like these sources really go beyond those kind of the stereotypes that we have.
Yeah, the homeschooling kid locked in the basement.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not just about kids sitting at the kitchen table anymore.
Right.
There are co-ops, there are online resources, and there's this surprising focus on self-directed learning, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, so it's not just like replicating the traditional school environment at home. It's actually something quite different.
Yeah, and they argue that, you know, this approach can actually lead to kids achieving more academically, being more engaged.
Okay, so it's not just about like the parents' ideology or whatever. It's actually they're seeing some real results.
And one of the sources, Anna Martin, she runs The Libertarian Homeschooler.
Okay.
She shares her personal experience. And she says one of the things that surprised her was that she became a better learner herself through the process of homeschooling her kids.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's not just about the kids. It's about the whole family kind of embarking on this learning journey together.
And they have all these great examples of like real world success stories with homeschooling. Oh, there's this 8-year-old boy. He was obsessed with Ancient Aliens.
Oh, I love that show.
And he used that obsession to learn like critical thinking skills, research skills.
Wow. So they're taking their interests and turning them into educational opportunities?
Exactly. And then there's this other kid, 9 years old, and he basically learned multiplication just by being immersed in this learning-rich environment.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's like osmosis or something. And then there's this 13-year-old tackling these really complex economic theories, you know, that you wouldn't normally think a 13-year-old would be interested in.
Right. But when you tailor the learning to their interests, who knows what they can accomplish?
And that kind of leads us to this idea of unschooling, which I think is even more radical. You know, it's all about following the child's natural curiosity.
Okay, so less about a set curriculum and more about just letting them explore what they're interested in.
Yeah, and creating an environment where learning just happens organically.
That sounds amazing, but also kind of scary. Like, are we just letting kids run wild?
Well, the sources emphasize that it's not about, you know, just letting them do whatever they want. It's about being very intentional about creating an environment that nurtures that innate desire to learn.
Okay, so it's about trust, trusting that kids want to learn, and then providing the resources and the support they need to do so.
Exactly. And then they take this even further and introduce this concept of deschooling. And this comes from Zachary Slayback. He wrote The End of School.
Okay, haven't heard of that one.
And he makes this really provocative argument that traditional schooling isn't just ineffective, it can actually be harmful.
Whoa, okay, strong words.
Yeah, he says it can actually instill habits and mindsets that hold people back in the real world.
So, like, what kind of habits?
Well, he talks about how the rigid structure and that focus on external rewards like grades, it can stifle creativity, it can stifle critical thinking.
Right, so you're not really learning for the sake of learning, you're just learning to get a good grade.
And to please the teacher and all those things that are not necessarily helpful in the real world.
Yeah, it's almost like you're training people to be good employees, not necessarily good thinkers or innovators.
And his solution is to deschool ourselves, which sounds really radical, but basically it's about embracing lifelong learning that's driven by your own passion and purpose, not by some bureaucratic mandate.
That's pretty powerful. So he's basically saying that we need to unlearn all the bad habits that traditional schooling has instilled in us.
Yeah, and reclaim ownership of our own education. You know, figure out what we want to learn, why we want to learn it, and then go after it.
So these sources are really pushing us to rethink everything we thought we knew about education.
Yeah, they're highlighting all these alternative approaches that are really focused on freedom, individual choice, and this passion for learning. And it's pretty radical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about saying that everyone should homeschool or unschool, but it's about having conversation, right? Like, what are the possibilities here? What could education look like if we moved away from this one-size-fits-all government-centric model?
And that's exactly what we're going to explore in part two. We're going to dive deeper into these alternative models and talk about their practical implications. How could we actually apply these ideas in different contexts? So stay tuned.
So, picking up where we left off, one thing that's really interesting about all these alternative approaches is how they focus on individualized learning. It's like, you know, ditch the cookie cutter approach. Every kid's different.
It makes you think about all those kids who just they don't fit into that traditional mold, you know, the kids who are bored or frustrated, or they're just not learning the way the system expects them to.
Exactly. I mean, each kid has their own interests, their own pace, their own way of understanding things. And these alternative models, they offer that flexibility to really tailor the whole learning experience to those individual needs.
It's so different from trying to cram everyone into the same box, which is often what it feels like in traditional schooling.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, one thing that always comes up with homeschooling is that socialization question. Like, do kids miss out if they're not in that traditional setting?
Yeah, that's a big one.
But these sources actually do a good job of debunking that myth.
Okay, so what are they saying?
Well, they point out how much homeschooling has changed. You know, there are so many opportunities now, co-ops, sports teams, academic classes, you name it.
So they're not just like isolated at home, they're actually getting out there and interacting with other people.
And in some ways, it seems like they might actually get a more diverse social experience than kids who only interact with people their own age.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're exposed to a wider range of people, ages, backgrounds.
Right.
It really challenges that assumption that you can only learn social skills in a big, age-segregated environment.
So it seems like these sources are really pushing us to think outside the box when it comes to education.
Totally.
Question those default settings that we have about how learning happens and what it should look like.
Yeah, and it's not about saying one model is better than the other. It's about having a broader conversation about what education can and should be in the 21st century. You know, what's the goal here?
Right. Are we preparing kids for life, or are we just preparing them for standardized tests?
That's the question. And actually, speaking of those standardized tests, these sources really critique how traditional schooling emphasizes conformity and obedience.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like that might be coming at the expense of critical thinking and genuine intellectual curiosity.
It's a valid concern. I mean, when you focus so much on rote memorization and standardized testing,
yeah,
it creates this environment where kids are learning to follow instructions and regurgitate information, but not necessarily to think for themselves or ask why.
It's like the system rewards compliance rather than encouraging kids to question things, to explore ideas that might go against the grain.
And that can have a long-term impact.
You know, totally.
People start to see learning as a chore they have to get through, not something that's actually rewarding.
It reminds me of that Einstein quote, "Education is what remains after one has forgotten what one has learned in school."
Yeah, love that quote.
It's so true. I mean, true education is about more than just accumulating facts.
Right.
It's about developing that love of learning, a sense of wonder, the ability to think critically and independently.
And that's what's so exciting about these alternative models. They really emphasize things like self-directed learning, exploration, following your passions.
Yeah, fostering a mindset that equips you for lifelong learning, not just for passing a test.
It's a vision of education that's so much more dynamic, personalized, and empowering than what we often see in traditional settings.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
It's about breaking free from that one-size-fits-all system and embracing the unique learning styles and needs of each individual.
Absolutely. And as we move into the final part of our deep dive, we'll explore how these ideas actually translate into real-world action. Like, how can we apply these insights to create a more vibrant and effective learning environment?
For ourselves and for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
So stick with us. It's about to get really interesting. Okay, so, you know, one thing that's really stuck with me from all this is like how they challenge us to just redefine what education even is.
Yeah, totally.
It's not just about like cramming facts in your head. It's about cultivating a mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, a way of approaching the world with curiosity.
Like that idea that education is, it's a lifelong pursuit.
Yeah.
It's fueled by this genuine thirst for knowledge. That's what I keep coming back to.
Right.
It's not about the piece of paper at the end.
Right.
It's about that ongoing process of exploration and discovery.
And it's empowering too, right? Like,
yeah.
It means we can all keep learning and growing no matter what, like formal education we've had.
Yeah, for sure.
And these sources, they have all these examples of people taking learning into their own hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see it everywhere now.
Right.
Online courses, self-directed projects, community workshops, mentorship programs. Like, the possibilities are endless for people who are hungry to learn.
Right. It's like this democratization of education. You know, it's not limited by those traditional institutions anymore.
The gatekeepers are losing their grip.
Okay.
Like, learning is becoming more and more accessible to anyone with an internet connection.
And this whole shift towards self-directed learning, it kind of fits perfectly with the emphasis on entrepreneurship and innovation that we see throughout these sources.
It's like they're saying those qualities aren't just like essential for success in the economy these days, but also for cultivating a lifelong love of learning.
Right. Like the curiosity, the problem solving, that drive to create something new.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff that drives both entrepreneurship and lifelong learning.
Exactly.
And the homeschooling discussion really highlights that connection. You know, the sources talk about how homeschooling often fosters this independence, self-reliance, that knack for problem solving.
And all those traits are highly valued in the entrepreneurial world.
Exactly. It's like homeschooling can be this training ground for innovators and change makers.
Because it encourages that out-of-the-box thinking, you know? It's about taking ownership of your learning, carving your own path.
But let's zoom out for a second and remember the bigger picture here, this whole think and act locally thing.
Right. It's not just about education.
No, it's about empowering people and communities to take control of their lives.
Recognizing that the solutions don't always have to come from these top-down government programs.
Right. Like these sources showcase how powerful grassroots initiatives can be.
When they're fueled by passion, by community engagement.
It's about tapping into that human ingenuity.
Right.
And recognizing that individuals, families, communities, they're often the best equipped to solve their own problems and make real change.
And education is the perfect example of that.
Yeah, these sources really urge us to, like, rethink the role of government in education.
And to explore what happens when we put the power back in the hands of individuals and families.
Maybe by embracing things like homeschooling, unschooling, deschooling, we can create this more vibrant, more dynamic educational landscape.
Yeah, one that nurtures lifelong learning, critical thinking, a love of knowledge just for the sake of it.
It's a call to action, right? Like, let's be active participants in shaping the future education.
For ourselves and for generations to come.
And it's a reminder that education, it's not just about accumulating knowledge and skills.
Right.
It's about empowering people to live meaningful and fulfilling lives.
So well said.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of think and act locally.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
We hope it sparked some new ideas and inspired you to rethink the possibilities of education.
Remember, the journey of learning is never over.
There's always more to discover, more to explore, more to create.